Hello, and welcome to the Innovation Forum podcast for Friday 15th November with me, Ian Welsh. I've been on the road this week in Marrakesh, Morocco, attending the International Finance Corporation's Global Manufacturing Conference. While I was there, I met with Rubana Huck, President of the Bangladesh Garment Manufacturers and Exporters Association, and we talked about the challenges facing the apparel sector in Bangladesh, progress since the Rana Plaza disaster, and the challenges the sector faces through automation and the introduction of new technology. That's to come, but first is the regular roundup of some sustainable business news. Canadian producer of meat and plant proteins Maple Leaf has declared itself to be the first major food company to be carbon neutral. It has achieved this significant milestone through a combination of aggressive science-based targets on emissions and credible offsetting of remaining carbon via independently verified high-impact projects throughout Canada and the US. Since 2015, the company has reduced energy use by 86 million kilowatt hours a year and water use by 1.2 billion litres. More bad news for Brazil's forests, as the president, Jair Bolsonaro, has signed a decree revoking a zoning regulation for the sugarcane industry. This means that cultivation of the crop may occur in the Amazon or other areas of primary forest. The change comes despite it not having been requested by the industry, which, up to now, has only been able to move into land already degraded or used for pasture. The government says that it wants to boost the ethanol sector in Amazon states, but it's possible that the EU could bar any ethanol tainted with deforestation. The sugarcane industry has, thus far, avoided the deforestation association of the soy and cattle sectors in Brazil. Forest watchers also say that the regulation's change indicates that the government sees no value in the preservation of the country's forests. Deforestation is not something typically associated with EU states, but instances of illegal logging in Romania have become something of a problem. And 43 national and international NGOs have written to the Romanian president, Klaus Iohannis, to protest at the recent killing of two forest rangers, the latest victims of violence against those working to protect the country's forests. The problem has been ongoing for some time. Forest NGO Fern said that half of the 8.8 million cubic metres of timber logged annually between 2008 and 2014 was illegally harvested. Questions are being asked of the EU timber regulation, with calls for its enforcement inside the EU, as well as preventing illegal timber entering the bloc. New research has priced the Eat Lancet's ideal daily diet, published amid much publicity earlier this year, at $2.84 a head. The new research from the International Food Policy Research Institute and Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy at Tufts University in the US also says that this cost puts the diet beyond the reach of 1.6 billion people, as it amounts to typically more than 90% of a household's daily per capita income in poorer countries, in sub-Saharan Africa and Southern Asia. The diet is designed so that the planet can sustainably feed 10 billion people. Finally, cotton supply chains from China have been subject to a Wall Street Journal investigation, which has alleged that the raw material ending up in big brand products, including H&M, Esprit and Adidas, has forced labour and modern slavery risks. Human rights groups say that cotton from the Xinjiang region in China is grown exploiting local minority groups. China produces around 22% of global cotton supply, and of that, 84% comes from Xinjiang. The brands are conducting investigations, but have generally denied to WSJ that there is forced labour in their supply chains. Innovation Forum will be in London next week for this year's Sustainable Landscapes and Commodities Conference. Joining us will be 300 plus delegates from the likes of Mondelez, Nestle, Golden Agri Resources, IKEA, Greenpeace, World Bank, Consumer Goods Forum, the World Resources Institute and many others. There are still some passes available. Check out the Innovation Forum website and this week's newsletter. Our 2020 programme is taking shape. On the 18th and 19th of March, we'll be back in London for the Ethical Trade and Human Rights Forum. Save up to £500 in passes if you register this month. Then, on the 28th and 29th of April, we'll be back in Amsterdam for the next in our Sustainable Apparel and Textiles Conference series. And there's a special €400 discount available, but you'll need to be quick as it expires today, Friday 15th of November. And we will be convening the next Future of Food US Forum in Minneapolis on the 27th and 28th of May. We'll be holding the London Future of Food event on the 2nd and 3rd of June. Check out Innovation Forum website for details. While I was in Marrakesh this week at the IFC's Global Manufacturing Conference, I spoke with Rubana Huck, President of the Bangladesh Garment Manufacturers and Exporters Association, about some of the challenges the apparel sector faces in Bangladesh and what the future might look like as garment manufacturers adapt to new technologies. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bangladeshi apparel sector and some of the challenges and the opportunities there that you have currently. So perhaps you could outline the current principal challenges that you see for the apparel sector in Bangladesh.
The current challenges that actually surround the apparel sector in Bangladesh include price, skill, the image deficit that we have, automation, and of course, sustainability. If I talk about the price, yes, we are not paid the right price. If you talk about skills, we stand at a 40 to 45% efficiency at a national level. If you talk about sustainability, we are addressing environmental sustainability issues. As far as the continuation of remediation and basic compliance going to the next standard is involved, we are trying our level best to set a national standard there. I think for very long the national context was missing. So while after Rana Plaza, all the remediation happened under the supervision of Accord and Alliance, the European and the North American brands all got together and formed these two initiatives. We sort of, you know, felt that it was time for us to form a national ready-made garments RMG Sustainability Council. So we call it RSC. This is in continuation with what Accord has done so far. So while Accord leaves the country by end of May, this new entity, RSC, is going to take over. And it consists of the brands, trade unions, and the industry. So it's a tripartite collaborative monitoring platform where we are pulling in and a lot of our national context in so that we don't end up having fire alarms which are UL listed and very advanced and they don't work anymore because of humidity issues.
Let's think a bit about the progress. We're 6 years on from Rana Plaza. What have been the milestones and progress from your perspective since then?
I think Bangladesh has ended up being the most compliant manufacturing hub of the world. We have so many compliant factories now. And you know, the standards set by Accord and Alliance weren't just basic. They were aligned with the highest international standards. Therefore, our factories are really, really good. What's also interesting is instead of having it prescribed to us, the Bangladeshi factories have gone ahead and turned green. So we have more than 101 factories, which are LEED certified green factories. We have more than 25 gold and platinum LEED factories. Therefore, it's interesting for us to see how we have basically subscribed to compliance, actually sustainability, whereas the structural, electrical, fire, and everything else were prescribed. So we've learned to cope, we've learned to evolve, we've learned to grow. All that we need to do right now is just sustain the progress that has so far been made. And of course, prepare again for Industry 4.0 in the process.
For the sector, what are you doing to ensure that you maintain your position globally in the apparel sector? I mean, it's a fast-moving business. Obviously, it's very important for the Bangladesh economy. What are you doing to ensure that you retain your position within the global apparel sector?
Ian, currently we're having challenges of product diversification. Value addition. So in many cases, what's happening is there is a mismatch of products being imported and the products we are ready to export. So for instance, the US-China trade war should have benefited us a lot more than what it actually has. Vietnam has gained almost 17% and we haven't. It's because the top 30 products that China exports to the US, we have almost 16 overlapping with them, but none of those product categories have actually grown. It's a huge challenge for us to add value to our products. So we need to be much more mindful of the direction that we're heading for. So we're monitoring weekly exports and we're checking out which product is actually making it to the world market most. We are still exporting huge t-shirts. It's still the biggest export item, but the value is dropping. Man-made fiber is coming up. So we mostly export cotton-based product and man-made fibers is much more on demand. So we have to align ourselves with the global expectation and demands and go forward. So all we're trying to do is just monitor the trends, the global trends, better our research and development, and also focus on wastes being reduced and reskilling our workers to go to the next level.
That leads very well onto, I think, the challenges and the potential opportunities from automation, the Industry 4.0 technologies that we hear so much about. Will they allow the Bangladeshi garment sector to become more innovative and to be able to respond more quickly to the demands that you've been talking about?
Well, there's no other option but to be innovative at this point. I think everybody just wants fast reaction, fast response, not necessarily fast fashion anymore, though. So it's more tailor-made. We have huge capacity. These all have to be turned into modular lines because the consumption pattern is changing. Now the customer wants a lot of customization. It's a lot more personalized than it was before. So our closets are shrinking. We're buying more value-added product. We're recycling. We're reusing. We're exchanging. So I think the beauty of the entire industry now lies somewhere else. It's in becoming innovative and yet retaining the value of labor, because there are 4.1 million people working in this industry in Bangladesh. And with automation, in case if they even lose out partially, it's a huge blow to the economy, because the ready-made garment sector supports 82% of the economy. And it involves a lot of employment. So all these workers are basically facing uncertain future. So what we need to do is rebrand labor and send a very careful message out to the world and say, you know, go green, go human.
I'm interested that you see the direction of the sector moving towards customization, towards higher value products potentially. What evidence do you have for that change that's really happening across the world?
Well, the world consumption has been revised to 1.2% growth this time. So automatically you see that its consumption is less. But when we monitor our exports, we can see that more value-added products, like women's anoraks, you know, jackets and man-made fiber, these are going up by almost value and price by almost more than 100%. So that's our hint that, you know, we should be moving on to better products. Transformations don't happen overnight. It's not a cosmetic treatment. So it'll require a couple of seasons to do it at the least. I don't know whether we have time to turn around so fast. So to be that adaptive, we need to think outside the box and maybe really brainstorm and see what academia has to say, whether there's enough research. If not, like, can we initiate research? So having a collaborative consultative group with people or organizations who are actually aligned with Industry 4.0 would immensely help us. And I welcome any affiliation in that regard.
Sure. So I guess the challenge is then to move an industry in Bangladesh, which has gone very much down the route of the fast fashion route, as you mentioned, but to change and move that towards greater value, bringing the potential for a better price for your members. But that's a massive thing to change.
Yes, and especially when brands like Patagonia actually go out there and say, don't buy my jacket, mend it, then you know that the ultimate change is happening. When I hear my kids saying that they're shopping online all the time and that they don't want to buy an extra pair of t-shirt, the alarm bell somewhere rings, because that's reality. The next generation is acutely conscious of the environment, quite rightfully so, acutely conscious of consumption and waste. So we have to be respectful towards the tomorrow people and make sure that we adhere to what they have to say and how they want us to comply with. So I don't think there's any two ways of thinking about not automating or not going to the next level. It's just there. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that we create more jobs and we find an innovative way of at least making sure that the lives of these 4.1 million workers don't get affected.
How then do you see this working? If you've got 4.1 million workers at the same time as moving towards greater automation, how are these workers are going to be reskilled? What sort of things will they be doing differently in the future?
I think, Ian, there's no other answer but education to this. So constant engagement in education is something that we will have to invest on, especially with the workers. More than 100 workers now go to Asian University for Women in Chittagong. It's an international university. They're taught by top-notch Western faculty there. When the program started, we just couldn't believe that it would work. But the first cohort actually graduates next year. So that's the moment of pride. So it is possible to educate workers. It is possible to reskill them. There are alternative employment that we could be leading them towards. For instance, they could be health aid. They could also probably do limited data labeling, and they should get data dividend.
It's fascinating. It's an industry that is changing. It was fast fashion, but it's certainly a fast-moving industry. And it's going to be really interesting to see how it changes over the coming years, particularly with the introduction of greater and new technologies, the Industry 4.0 that everyone talks about. But for now, Rubana Huck, President of the Bangladesh Garment Manufacturers and Exporters Association, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Remember that there is plenty of content available online at innovationforum.co.uk. Look out for a new piece of analysis on the changing focus of NGOs and activists. All available for free, no paywalls at Innovation Forum. And also don't forget that there are still tickets available for the Sustainable Landscapes and Commodities Conference next week in London. And it's always great to meet podcast listeners, so if you are attending, do come and say hi. But that's all for now. I've been Ian Welsh, and I hope to see you in London next week.